children got ready for school. There were enough leftovers to be warmed up for the rest of the week. Not that we had much appetite, having drunk such a lot, stayed up so late, attempted quite unsuccessfully to love all of our relatives, and in general, grossly overestimated our powers. The Christmas feast is already a fading memory. Already, the man begins to be vaguely aware of an unpleasant depth of apprehension at the thought of Lent and Good Friday, which cannot, after all, may not be very far off. But for the time being, here we all are. In the meantime, there are bills to be paid, machines to keep in repair, the regular verbs to learn, the time being to redeem from insignificance. Merry Christmas for one more day, with our task being to redeem time from insignificance. And happy New Year, 2020. A new date to write on a check if you still write checks. With a hymn that I love that we will not sing today, but could have. All beautiful the march of days as seasons come and go. In its shape, the rose has wrought the crystal of the snow, has sent the hoary frost of heaven, the flowing water sealed, and made a silent loveliness on hill and wood and field. But God, from whose unfathomed law the year and beauty flows, herself the vision passing by the crystal of rose, day unto day shall utter speech. Night to night proclaim in ever-changing words of light the wonders of your name. And to the point, happy day before the day of Epiphany, which we mark and explore and celebrate this morning. Epiphany being in general a moment of revelation or insight. And for us, that revelation and insight being the manifestation of the baby Jesus as the Christ to the three wise people who followed the star. It is certainly a story that transfixes us. Who were these three about whom the text says so little and about whom we have speculated so much? What was this star? Again, about which the text says so little, but which produces such joy. What about those gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh, what do they mean? And what of Herod, already sensing a threat from this little baby, such solemn foreshadowing? There is surely a career of sermons contained in those few verses, and surely a lifetime of faithfulness to be lived out. In the ways that we follow the star and recognize the baby and offer our gifts. Before the Eagles beat the Seahawks later this afternoon, I would invite you to spend a few moments reading all of Auden's Christmas poem, or this, T.S. Eliot's effort, which marks this day, which reminds us that this story, this Epiphany story, like life itself, is never as simple as the Hallmark Channel would have us understand. It's called The Journey of the Magi. The cold coming we have of it, just the worst time of the year for a journey, and such a long journey. The way is deep and the weather is sharp, a very dead of winter. And the night fires going out, and the lack of shelters, and the city's hostile, and the towns unfriendly, and the villages dirty and charging high prices. A hard time we had of it. At the end, we prefer to travel all night, sleeping in snatches with the voices singing in our ears saying that this was all folly. And it can seem like folly. We live in such a fragile moment. Military escalation in the Middle East, impeachment proceedings unfolding, star in order to meet a baby can seem like folly. Yet it is our best hope, the world's best hope, that the alternative road taken by the three wise men becomes the way that we might follow. Some of you have lived in Chicago for many years. And each December, the world-renowned Adler Planetarium would offer a show on this star, the astronomical point being how any of this could happen, or rather, could it have happened. I think it was a good moneymaker for the planetarium, but more so it scratched an itch for followers and believers and seekers and doubters who were drawn to this story. The three wise men inquired to Herod about the child because they observed that the star at its rising. And even when Herod's plotting begins, the three follow the star. And at this most extraordinary moment, when they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. Overwhelmed with joy. They presented their gifts, their expensive gifts, which is another sermon for another time, and then they departed by another way because of Herod's threat to them and to the baby. That's also another sermon for another time. Because as interesting as a planetarium display might be, and as much as it matters for us to seek understanding of all that is going on, what we know from the story is the star had one job, and it knew well, to lead these visitors to Jesus, and to continue to lead us to Jesus. First to Jesus. That's what Epiphany is all about. And that's the first thing that this light does. It provides illumination for our lives, truth about who we are, and then truth beyond truth. Sometimes I have to think about those three educated, privileged women who transformed all of this. What curiosity led them there. And then having had this encounter, returning home by another alternative route, what this encounter did to them. Recognizing the power of this tiny little baby, being overwhelmed with joy, offering their precious gifts, how were they transformed? How did this encounter change the way they lived the remainder of their days? Likewise, how are we transformed? This isn't at all about New Year's resolutions, which we may or may not still be keeping 5 days into the new year. No, this is about the deeper matters of who we are and how we will live our lives. And how will the light of this baby, God in the flesh, make a difference in our living? Human lives matter, nor should they be. Transformation is never about surface level change. Robert Williams, who was a theologian and former Archbishop of Canterbury, writes that God is the light of the world in his son Jesus. In that interruption, that light coming through our darkness is not a comfortable clearing up of problems and smoothing out of difficulties and upsets. When God's light breaks on my darkness, Williams says, I have to find a new way of knowing myself, identifying myself. And that's what Epiphany does, is light cutting through our darkness. For each of us, for all of us, a new orientation for our own lives and living. But it doesn't stop there, of course. It can't stop there. Because after leading us to Jesus, the star then leads us from Jesus. All the places where Jesus calls us, where this light needs to shine, so that we, like the star itself, can become light bearers. transformation in church and culture. As Paul has famously said, never doubt that a small group of thoughtful, committed citizens can change the world. Indeed, it is the only thing that ever has. So allow me just a little bit of a paraphrase. Never doubt that a small group of seekers and followers who have seen the light and who have been overwhelmed with joy can change the world. Change the world. That's what this light empowers us to do. You remember 20 years ago, some of you remember 20 years ago better than others of us will. 20 years ago, anxiety was really off the charts about what would happen when the calendar flipped from 1999 to 2000. Would banks kind of implode in place? Would planes fall from the sky? Y2K, you remember it, some of you. And in some ways, the artificial passing from 2019 to 2020 has that relative feel to scale against. But with a deep and disturbing set of global and cultural and political and theological issues, the environment, of course, tribalism and factionalism of all kinds, an epidemic of gun violence, racism, and poverty. And here we are. The church gathers perhaps with a diminished measure of cultural influence, but no less diminished in our capacity to share the light. So at the end of the year, I've read stories of churches paying off medical debt for communities and many churches adopting public schools of hard yet hopeful conversations about racism and white privilege and white supremacy, about churches converting once overflowing buildings into needed senior housing. None of those might be our specific strategies, but all of them share a sense of vision about what the light can do. What difference it can make in a world hungry for justice and reconciliation and hope and joy. Years later, when this baby to whom we offer gifts will be grown to be a man, he tells his followers that they are the light of the world. Our vocation and our mission, set in motion long before his birth, remember the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light, that mission confirmed when the star rests above his resting place. The late writer Brian Doyle affirmed that we're only here for a minute. We're here for a little window. And to use that time to catch and share shards of light and laughter and grace seems to me the great story. And the great poet Mary Oliver, who died just a few months ago, reminded us that you too have come into the world to do this, to go easy, to be filled with light, and to shine. So Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, Happy Epiphany. And in the meantime, for the time being, may we catch and share shards of light. May we shine. May we shine for the sake